Good to be with you on this Sunday morning. The weather seems to be getting just a little bit better. We're enjoying it, I think, probably a little bit more. We see the design God had in nature, the changing of the seasons. We're thankful for the presence of each and every one of you here this morning. We hope that you have other opportunities to come back and to be with us as we worship God together. We're going to depart from the series of lessons that I had announced several weeks ago talking about relationships. We talked in the first one about the relationship that is between God and man. And then last week we talked about that relationship between husband and wife. And the next time that we meet together on Sunday morning, Lord willing, I'd like for us to continue that series and talk about the parent-child relationship. But this morning I'd like to talk to you about spiritual maturity. I think that probably every one of us likes to consider themselves as being a mature person, that regardless of the age that they are, whether they might be in their teens or 20s or up to their 70s or 80s, relatively speaking, they like to consider themselves to be mature. We all like to think that we can recognize in ourselves and also in others those signs or those marks of maturity. That is, an individual begins to take on the responsibility of someone who is grown up, someone who is mature. That individual also begins to set their priorities in life straight. That as a child, maybe they would enjoy pleasure more than work. But now as they begin to mature, they recognize the fact that priorities have to come first. And they will forego just a little bit of pleasure in order to get some work done. We would think that we would be able to recognize these things in ourselves and also in others. And we would also like to think that we could note or mark that individual who was not maturing as they ought to. The process of physical growth and physical maturation is something that is very important. I think all of us understand this. In order for a child to grow and mature and to take his or her proper place in society, for them to carry their own weight, we might say, they must mature. And it's very important. But spiritually speaking, our growth or our maturing is, to us as Christians, of course, far more important. Or it should be far more important. But we find that as we look about us in the body of Christ today, that there are far too many spiritual children in the church. There are those who have, by reason of time, should have matured. That they should no longer be babes in Christ. That they should be at a place where they're going to add something to the overall strength of a congregation. As we look to the New Testament, we understand that this growth process, this maturing, is also termed edifying or edification. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in verse 26, Let all things be done unto edifying, that is, unto the building up of the individual and the building up of the body of Christ, so that we might all, the church as well as the individual, be complete or be mature. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14, we find Paul writing to the saints there at Ephesus, speaking concerning these matters as what God has done to bring about a completeness for the church and therefore also for the individual. He says, beginning in verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And here is the reason: for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. The reason that God gave unto mankind these things that we have in the Bible is for us to be spiritually mature, so that we can be complete. And we don't have to be babes in Christ all of our life. That we can be get to that point of where we're no longer deceived by men, we're deceived by Satan, but we can be full grown, we can be mature. And that is the goal of this growth process, that we be perfect, that we be complete. Now, when we talk about perfection, we're not talking about reaching a point where we never sin anymore. I don't believe we reach that. Regardless of how spiritually mature we might be, we do not reach a point of where we no longer sin anyway or at any time. But when we're talking about perfection, we're talking about completeness or maturity, being fully developed. And that is a goal that I am convinced each and every one of us spiritually can reach if we so desire to. If we have that desire to be full-grown, mature individuals, we can reach that, each and every one of us. This is our goal. But the number of years that an individual might be in Christ does not automatically bring maturity or completion. Very much like physical growth. We may, and I'm sure we do know of individuals who might be 40 or 50 years old, but there's still some maturing that they must do or need to do, because we find that they do not do those things that a mature person would do. It's the same spiritually. We find people who are in Christ and have been there for a number of years, but they're not necessarily mature. What we want to do is press on to perfection. This is what the writer of the book of Hebrews says there in the 6th chapter in verse 1, that we go on, or we press on to perfection. As it is physically, so spiritually. I believe there are signs or there are marks whereby we can determine when an individual, and we want to look at ourselves really, where we can determine if we are mature in Christ or not. And we want to concentrate on ourselves this morning. You know, it's easy to look at somebody else, to look at their life and begin to make some judgments and determinations as to whether they are spiritually mature, whether they're physically mature. It's easy to do that. But what we need to do is look at ourselves, examine our own lives in accordance with the Word of God to see if we are spiritually mature or if we are pressing on toward that goal. There are some signs or some marks of maturity that is given to us in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, and I don't know if I put verse 11 on the outline or not, but it should be verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 5, down through the 6th chapter in verse 3. There are several things that the writer of the book of Hebrews, whoever that might be, should it be Paul or Apollos or whomever, here was an individual that wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Here is someone who is telling us that there are marks or signs that will let us know if we are mature or not. And read along with me, beginning in the 5th chapter and verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of the laying on of hands, of resurrection from the dead, and of the eternal judgment. For this we will do, if God permits. In these few verses that we have here for us, I think there's several signs or several marks that will let us know if we are maturing as we ought to in Jesus Christ. He says that there are some fundamental, elementary principles that we need to leave, that we need to go beyond those things, that we need to build upon them. One of the things that he points out in the very beginning is that we have reached a point where we can teach others. Now, I believe what he's talking about here is teaching them the Word of God, teaching them the plan of salvation, teaching them what God wants them to do in order to be saved. When we mature, we reach that point. We should reach an age, spiritually speaking, where we can take the gospel to other individuals. He says there, ye ought to be teachers. He says in verse 12, there is a time when you should be teachers. Instead of, he says, you have need that someone teach you. Teach you, he says, the first principles of the oracles of God. Again, he is saying you should be teachers. You should have grown enough spiritually. You should have enough knowledge of the Word of God that you can then impart that knowledge to someone else. And knowledge is something that is necessary before a person can teach. I mean, this is understood. This is something that goes almost without saying. You cannot impart something to someone else that you do not have. And if you do not have knowledge, then you cannot impart that knowledge to someone else. We recognize this in the secular world with secular knowledge of whatever subject you want to talk about. Before we can teach it to someone else, we've got to know it. When a teacher goes into some school system and wants to be hired, one of the first things that the one doing the hiring will ask for is a diploma. Where did you go to school? What kind of knowledge do you have? Do you have the knowledge so that you might teach and impart this to another individual? Generally speaking, that diploma is a sign of the opportunity, at least, to gain the knowledge to be a teacher. So that diploma is something that is looked at. We don't have diplomas in spiritual knowledge. There is a final test, we might say, in which we will receive a diploma or not. That is when we stand before God on the day of judgment. But in this life, that is not given out. But there is knowledge for us to gain. And there are far too many Christians who are in the body of Christ today who cannot teach. They have not reached this age when they ought to. And the reason they cannot teach is simply this. They don't have the knowledge. And why is it that they don't have the knowledge? It's very simple. They don't study the Word of God. And a lot of times we find these same individuals who are failing to teach others the Word of God will simply say, well, I haven't got the time. I haven't got the time to study the Word of God. Why haven't they got the time to study the Word of God? Well, I think one of the things is it goes back to maturity. Is that they have not gotten their priorities straight. For someone to mature in Jesus Christ, they have to have their priorities straight. And when they don't have time to study the Word of God, they're not going to reach maturity, and we might say they're really not mature in Christ. One of the things that is amazing, I think we've all discovered this, and that is, as busy as we are in our day-to-day activities, if there's something that we want to do, we'll find time to do it. We recognize we can't do everything. All of the demands that are made on us by a husband or wife or by children or by the community, whatever it might be, we don't have time to do all of those things. But we do those things we want to do. And if we want to study the Word of God, if we want to mature, if we want to gain that knowledge so that we can teach others, we'll find time to study. We'll find time to mature in Jesus Christ. He says there were time that you have reached a time when you ought to be teachers of God's Word. Now, I don't believe here necessarily he's speaking about teaching publicly the Word of God. But we can teach one-on-one. I'm convinced that if we can speak, we can teach. We do that all the time. When we're talking to others, we impart to them knowledge. If it's one-on-one, speaking to them, oftentimes we do impart knowledge unto them. And in speaking the Word of God, in understanding it and having that knowledge, we can teach others. Teaching also involves not only knowledge, but it involves an attitude or a disposition. That is, that we should have, as children of God who desire to mature and to be complete, that we have a willingness to teach others. Just think back in your school days. Some of you are still in school. Who are the best teachers that you had or did have? Was it that individual who had to teach you something? Or was it that individual who wanted to teach? I think we understand very, very quickly that the best teacher is that one who wants to teach, who wants to impart knowledge to someone else. They generally make the subject very exciting. They can hold your attention and you learn from them because their excitement about that subject comes through. We as children of God ought to have an excitement about telling others what God wants them to do to be saved. We should have a willingness to teach, a willingness to impart that knowledge to other people. A lot of people, though, when it comes to teaching others, use James chapter 3 as kind of a fire escape. We talked about fire escapes on Wednesday night concerning prayer, how that a lot of people use prayer as a fire escape. A lot of people use James chapter 3 and verse 1 as an excuse why they don't want to teach. James said, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." And so their concept here is that, well, I don't want to receive a stricter judgment, so therefore I'm not going to be a teacher. They say to themselves, and they give the excuse unto others as to why they fail to teach is, well, I don't want to make mistakes. I don't want to make a mistake in trying to teach someone else the Word of God. But let me ask you, what is the greatest error? Never teaching someone and therefore never making a mistake, or teaching someone the Word of God which is able to save their soul, and along in the process that you might make a mistake or two. Not a mistake in the sense that they will lose their soul, you're teaching error, but a mistake in perhaps where a passage might be. A mistake in maybe understanding a particular word. We're going to make those mistakes. But what is the greater error? Never teaching or teaching the Word of God, which is able to save an individual soul, and perhaps making a mistake here or there. Well, I think we understand which is the greater error. The greater error is never teaching God's Word. Because some people will never hear the Word of God except through us. They're not going to take the time to sit down and to read the Bible, to pour over and understand what God wants them to do. We're going to be the Bible to them. We're going to be the one that teaches them. And if we don't, it may be that they will not learn what they need to do to be saved. The writer of the book of Hebrews points out to these individuals that there had come a time when they ought to be teachers. And I believe he's saying, here is a mark or a sign of maturity that you should have reached when you have the ability and have the knowledge to take that to someone else. He also points out here that they should be able to receive solid food or the meat of the gospel of Christ. There in verse 14, he makes this comment, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. The writer's making a comparison here between physical food and spiritual food. And we know that it is babes, physically, the baby that cannot take in these strong food or this solid food or the meat. It must have milk. But when it begins to grow, it is able to take that meat or that solid food. He is making a comparison here between the physical and the spiritual. And the Word of God is our spiritual food. And there are some things in there that we would consider milk. He talks about the first principles of the oracles of God. Those foundation things that we need to build upon. That's the milk. But there are also some things that are meat, some things that are difficult for us to understand. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 3 and verses 1 through 8 that there's a time for everything. There is a time for milk, but there also comes a time in an individual's life spiritually that they need to take meat or solid food. There comes a time for us to leave the foundations of Christ's doctrine. Now, when we're talking about leaving the foundations of Christ's doctrine, we're not talking about abandoning them altogether. We're talking about using them to build our spiritual houses on. To go beyond the simple things of faith, repentance, and baptism. Of those things that we learn in the basic truths from the Word of God. we have to realize that there are some hard things for us to understand in the Word of God. We find that Peter talks about that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, where he says concerning the things that Paul had to write about, an account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. Peter pointed out very plainly, there are some hard things in the Word of God for us to understand. There is some meat there. And these things are for grown people. These things are for mature individuals. The writer of the book of Hebrews says there comes a time in everybody's spiritual growth when they ought to be able to take in this meat or this solid food. In John chapter 6, beginning in verse 60 down through verse 66, we find also Christ teaching his disciples certain things that were hard for them to understand. He was talking about them having to partake of his flesh and to drink his blood. And they made a statement, this is hard sayings. And they said later on in verse 66, some of them turned away from him because of this. They didn't understand what he had to say. It was hard. There's some difficult things in God's Word. There is meat there. But there comes a time in our life spiritually where we should reach a stage of maturity where we can take these things and we can understand them. A failure to receive the meat or the solid food that's found in the gospel of Jesus Christ is a sign, or it is a mark to us, that we, if we can't understand it, that we are still carnal. This is what happened to the church at Corinth. If you remember all of the problems that they had there, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3 and verses 1 through 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal." This was the reason they couldn't grow. They couldn't get past the problems that they were facing. Yes, and they couldn't understand the meat is because they were still carnal. The Old Testament in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. God says through that prophet, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." They could not grow. They could not understand some of these hard things. We can't reach spiritual maturity if all the time that we're going to spend in study of the Word of God is 2 or 3 hours a week. We're not going to grow as we ought to. We're not going to reach spiritual maturity if the only time we study and we open God's Word is when we gather at assemblies such as this. We need to study the Word of God all the time. It needs to be our spiritual food if we are going to reach spiritual maturity. Well, that's one of the things that we might say is a mark or a sign of someone who is going on or pressing on toward perfection or completion. That is, they're able to understand the meat of the solid food that's found in the gospel. He says also there in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14 that we have the ability to discern between good and evil. Notice what he says here. He says that by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Notice that. He says that you have your senses exercised. What I'm left with impression here is that spiritually speaking, we have some kind of senses. You know, we have senses physically. We have those physical senses that are given unto us by God. And as we live, as we mature, as we experience things in life, these senses become exercised. And we're able to discern certain things. You know, for example, the sense of taste. As we live long and as we taste different types of food, when we taste something that perhaps we think we've never had before, What we do is we relate that to something that we have had before. And we make it say, well, this tastes like this other food. And through experience, we learn these things. We exercise our senses in this way. We have senses then, spiritually, that need to be exercised so that we can discern good from evil. Spiritual maturity is going to be able to recognize the differences between what God says and what man says. Even though what man says might sound very good to us, there is a difference between what God says and what man says. The doctrines that are taught by Jesus Christ and that which is brought up by man, that which is handed down as tradition by man. One of the traps that the immature fall into, and this again is because they don't have knowledge, they don't have their senses exercised, is that they think the ends justifies the means. And I believe this is a trap that many of our liberal brethren have fallen into. They don't have a knowledge of the Word of God. They haven't exercised their senses, spiritually speaking, and they think the ends justifies the means. That however we might be able to attract people to get them in the building, that's okay because of the end results they hear the gospel. It's all right what we do with our money as long as the end result is people hear the gospel. How we raise our money doesn't matter either, as long as we use that money in a right way. That sounds good. They've fallen into this trap laid by Satan. And so we find again, they have not had, because of a lack of knowledge of the Word of God, their senses exercised. We might find ourselves saying, well, I must be mature here because I know what's right and I know what's wrong. I know what is good and I know what is evil, and I can discern between the two. But I'm convinced that the writer of the book of Hebrews here is talking about maturity going beyond this. Because oftentimes we have to distinguish between what is good and what is better. Maturity, we recognize in the physical world, sees and is able to understand that in certain activities there are tendencies or there are trends that could lead to evil. We ought to be able to do that spiritually also. Maturity is something that sees in the distance, further than just the end of the nose, as the expression goes. Maturity sees more than just the pleasures that a person might enjoy today. Maturity does this. I suppose as long as there's going to be parents and children, there is going to come a clash of wills between the parents and children. We've seen this perhaps with ourselves and our parents, perhaps with ourselves and our children. There is a desire that the child has. They want to do this. But we as an adult, because we are mature, because we have seen through experience what some of these activities that they want to engage in can lead to, our desire for them is, you can't do that. I don't want you to do that. They can't see any evil. They can't see any harm in the activity. Yet as mature individuals, we recognize that there could great harm could come from that. And as I said, I guess as long as there's going to be generations, there's going to be that clash between the mature and the immature. And this, as we can see, as what I think the writer is trying to point out here, is that maturity is able to discern between the good and evil. The senses have become exercised to where we know what is good and what is evil. And then we could also make a distinction between what is good for us to do and those things that are better for us to do. The writer of the book of Hebrews then points out these three things. That a mature individual is able to teach others. That a mature individual is able also to receive the meat or the solid food that's found in the gospel. And that a mature individual, spiritually speaking, is able to discern between good and evil. But I believe there's another mark of maturity found in the Word of God that is present in every perfect or complete child of God. And that is humility. We need to be humble. The child of God that grows to maturity, spiritually speaking, is going to be humble. They're going to be humble enough in order to receive instructions. And I believe this is a problem sometimes that arises with so-called mature Christians. They feel that whatever there is to know about the Word of God, they already have that knowledge. You know, they're kind of know-it-alls. They understand what God wants them to do. Now, they may not say this, but in their actions, they feel, I've got nothing to learn from anybody. I know what the Word of God says. But if we're going to become perfect, we're going to become complete in Jesus Christ, then we never stop learning. There is always something that we can be instructed in. And this calls for humility on our part. We've got to be humble individuals. We've got to realize that we do not know it all. We don't know everything. Now, if we have in our lifetime experienced everything that a human being can experience, and if in those experiences we have applied the Word of God every time and in every situation, then we might say to ourselves, well, I've got all the answers. But I don't know of any one of us who has experienced everything in life, has experienced every situation and every circumstance that man is going to face. And when we do face different circumstances or new situations, we've got things to learn. We can always learn. I am convinced that a mature child of God is a humble child of God. Have you ever noticed that about physically when you get older? You ask someone who is old and you think who has learned a lot through the years, you know what's one of the first things that they will admit is the fact that as they grow older, they realize that there is so much they need to learn. There's so much wisdom and knowledge that's found in the world. The older you get, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. Of all the vast knowledge and wisdom that's found in the world, of all the situations that we might get ourselves into, there's a lot to be learned. A mature person is a humble person. We need to be humble enough also from time to time to be admonished. That is, to be corrected. If we're going to go on to perfection, sometimes this takes an admonition. Because, again, we're not going to be right 100% of the time. We're going to make mistakes. And sometimes in our pride, we're not going to admit that we've made mistakes. Are we going to try to cover it up? Are we going to try to minimize what we have done? But we're going to be wrong. Sometimes we need to be admonished. We need to be humble. And the mature person is that way. We should not take the wrong attitude toward that individual who admonishes us. A lot of times that happens. We will think to ourselves, well, who are they to correct me or to point this out to me? But God's Word is the thing that is constantly admonishing us. And we need reproof. We need correction. We need instruction. We need admonition from the Word of God. And why is that? Because we want to be mature. We want to be complete. We also need to be humble enough to recognize that we have shortcomings. Maturity realizes imperfections. And maturity also wants to make improvements. An immature person wants to blame others for what they have done. You know, all you have to do is be around a couple of three children for a while. And if you've got two or three children playing together and something's broken, what happens? You come into the room and you ask, well, what happened? Who did this? Well, the person who usually does it we'll point to somebody else and say, well, they made me do it. They want to put the blame on someone else. They want to put the blame and turn the attention to someone else. And that's what the immature does. The mature person realizes that they make mistakes. They have shortcomings and they want to improve that. The mature child of God wants to please God. And he will do whatever he can to do that. We need the ability to say, I have sinned. I have done wrong in the sight of God. David did that. When he sinned finally before Nathan, he says, I have sinned. He tried to cover it up for a while. We need that ability. The prodigal son came to himself and he said, I have sinned against God and against my father. He took the blame and the responsibility upon himself. We need that ability to say, I have sinned. And that's a humbling experience. Pride is not the mark of a mature Christian. Maturity recognizes a dependency upon God. Not just saying that we're dependent upon God, but living that way. Another mark of maturity, I think, is found in James chapter 2, or 3 and verse 2. And that is that we have the ability to control our tongue. James writes concerning the tongue in that particular place. He says in verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. That word perfect, perhaps you have as a footnote, means complete or mature. And an individual who is able to control his tongue is that individual who is mature. He is complete. A mature individual will refrain from speaking against another individual. In James 4 and verse 11, turning over one page there in the book of James, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother judges his brother, speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Most people would say, I don't have a problem here. Most Christians, I don't have a problem here. I don't speak evil of another individual. But what about that little harmless gossip that we might pass on? What about jumping to conclusions? You know, we do that. We're pretty good at it sometimes. We see some individual, some person in a situation that might not look the best, and we jump to conclusions about that. We automatically assume the worst, and we might spread that to someone else. We jump to conclusions sometimes. Love and the mature child of God will not put the worst connotations on a situation, but the very best. We need to control our tongue. We need to refrain also from speaking lies. In Ephesians 4 and verse 25, speak ye the truth, each one with his neighbor. Speaking the truth all the time. We hear the expression and have heard it for years about an individual telling a little white lie. There's no such thing as a little white lie. They're all lies in the sight of God. We need to refrain our lips from speaking profanity also. And I am surprised sometimes at the number of so-called mature Christians who have a problem with this. I'm not talking about the individual that's a babe in Christ who perhaps all their life have used foul language and they're having difficulty stopping that now. I'm talking about an individual who's been a member of the body of Christ for a number of years and who should have developed good habits, and they use profanity. James says in 3 and 10, out of the same mouth cometh forth blessings and cursings. He goes on to say, this should not be. It should not be. A mature child of God can control his tongue. Under all situations, he or she has self-control. That's what maturity brings to someone spiritually. We also need to refrain from murmuring. The mature child of God will do that. Philippians 2 and verse 14, Paul makes the plain statement, do all things without murmuring and questioning. I believe sometimes we think it's our inherent right as Americans that we can complain. That's our right. We can murmur and we can complain about everything that comes along. We also think that it's a show of intelligence. That, I can figure these things out. I can pick out things that are wrong and I can complain. It's a sign of strength that I'm going to stand up to somebody and I'm going to complain about something. We think that's our right. But we find that the mature individual will understand what God wants them to do and not complain about it. But we have that sometimes carried over in our relationship with God. And people will begin to say, is that really what the Bible has to say? Do I really have to do that? Oh, I don't have to. I can find some other way. I can do it in another way. But the mature child of God will do all that he can, not the least that he can get by with. We need to have control of our tongue. The other mark that we find is that of love. And love is the bond of perfectness. There in Colossians chapter 3, and again, I don't know, perhaps I put chapter 4 in the outline, but it's chapter 3 in verse 14. Sometimes my fingers don't hit the right keys on that keyboard. In Colossians chapter 3 in verse 14, he says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection or of perfectness. Love is the one thing that should compel us to do what we do, to be in obedience unto the Word of God. Love is a thing that will strive toward pleasing God, which is going to bring us to that maturity that we so all desire as Christians. Love will bring us on to that completeness in Jesus Christ. A recognition of what God has done for us in His love. And that we want to show our love for Him, for God, for our brethren, and even for our enemies. Here is a mark of maturity. Here is a sign that we have, if not reached completion, if not reached perfection, maturity, then we're well on our way. Finally, we've noted number 5 is that of steadfastness. Steadfastness in 2 things, that is in trials and in temptations. James, again, in chapter 1, in verses 2 through 4, writes this. And it sounds funny to us when we think about trials and temptations and we want to avoid those things. James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may become perfect, complete, lacking nothing. He says here in these trials, he says, be steadfast, be patient. Because that's going to bring you to perfection. That's going to bring you to completion. How easy is it when we face trials, how easy is it to give up? It's very easy, isn't it? When we face difficult situations, the easiest thing sometimes that we can do is give up or give in. Run away from the situation and not face it. Let these things overcome us. It's easy for us to wallow in pity. The mark of a mature child of God is not giving up. It's facing trials and facing temptations, and with God's help, you can overcome them. You can gain the victory in the end. We have seen it many times in our own lifetime from children of God who are weak, not steadfast, that oftentimes they let the smallest things interfere with their worship unto God. The smallest things can stand between them and God. And as long as everything's going their way, they're right there and they're ready to worship, they're okay. Something comes along that interferes with that, and even how small it might be, they separate themselves from God. Now, they wouldn't let that stop them in any of their physical activities. Wouldn't hinder them at all. They'd still engage in those things. They wouldn't let these little things stop them in many of the responsibilities that they have, physically speaking. But when it comes to their spiritual responsibilities, that little thing stands between them and God. They're not steadfast. It's easy to give up. The mature child of God will face these difficulties and will overcome them. We need to be steadfast in temptation. It is the weak and it is the immature that often fall prey to Satan. But it is the mature child of God who will face these temptations and with the help of God overcome them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, a passage of Scripture that we've all read many times, one that's easy for us to understand, Paul, writing to the saints there, says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What does the mature child of God do when he's faced with temptation? He looks for that way out. He looks for that escape. The immature, the weak might give in, might give up. But a sign of maturity is, here is an individual who is steadfast. They're faced with some of the greatest temptations that Satan might be able to throw at us. But they look for that way out. They don't give in. They are steadfast. That's a sign of maturity. That's a sign of someone who is complete or perfect in Jesus Christ. Perhaps there are other signs or marks that we might think of in connection with this. But there are ways that we can determine if we're growing in Christ, if we're reaching maturity. And as I said in the very beginning, we need to look at ourselves. Don't look at anybody else. Don't think about their life, their shortcomings, or their strengths, but look at yourself. Are you maturing? Are you teaching others the Word of God? Can you handle the meat or the solid food that's found in the gospel? Can you discern between that which is good and evil? Are you able? Are you humble enough to receive instruction and admonition? Can you control your tongue? Can you love as you ought to? Can you be steadfast? Far too many are content to be babes in Christ all of their spiritual life. And all the while they're telling themselves that they are mature. But they're content to be babes. There comes a time when maturity should be reached. We look at the physical growth of an individual, and there, by reason of time, they ought to reach maturity. We figure something's wrong. We want to find out what is wrong. We should look at ourselves spiritually also. And when, by reason of time, we should reach spiritual maturity, if we have not, then we need to ask why. What's wrong? Let's eliminate the problem. There is something that needs to be said to some members of the body of Christ. And this is simply this. We've heard it all of our life, and they just grow up. Children sometimes are told that by their parents when they see them doing immature things.